The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything that you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. I've been so pumped to take a couple of friends with our road bikes to some of the trails nearby, and now I can bring the entire crew, my dog, and all of our gear with that third row. Learn more about the new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On this episode of the E-Check, man, there's only two series in the first round that are left. Four first round series have bit the dust. So we got to get you up to date with those series that have ended, as well as not drop one, but two interviews with Covers.com basketball guru Douglas Farmer. We follow that up with an interview with Alan Morton, who's the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He had some great things to say. We got to get ready for this Denver versus Minnesota series, which I think is going to be much closer than a lot of people think. A lot of things happening, Anthony, so let's drop that beat. Should be Rihanna. Sorry, I did my the Zach Lowe thing where he like just skips podcasts and like you don't ever know that it's coming. I say that as the biggest Zach Lowe fan maybe on the planet, who just all I want to do is ingest his podcast. I missed Wednesday because I was at Game 5 in the Garden for the Knicks versus Sixers, and it took me a while to recover. Game 5, baby. Game 5. Could go down as one of the best playoff games ever. Maybe top 5. The series could go down as one of the best playoff series ever. Every star was in the building. Tracy Morgan, you had the Ben Stiller moment. It was Ben Stiller and Tracy Morgan in absolute awe over Tyrese Maxey, and they're flipping them off. It could have been a 30 Rock skit. You had the Knicks up 6 with 30 seconds left to go. That game looked like it was signed, sealed, delivered, go home, night-night, sleep mask. Sixers, no. Tyrese Maxey decides to take the game over. They somehow, the Knicks, give up a logo three. He scored 7 points in 15 seconds. And then all of a sudden, they clamp down on Jalen Brunson and make life so difficult for him that, as my mom would say, he passed the ball and no one was there. And then we got an epic game 6 in Philly on Thursday night. The thing, though, going back to game 5 really fast about OT, that stuck out was that the Garden at that point had been so deflated. They had shot their emotional wad, as it were. They thought that game was over. The fact that overtime was even a thought, even a reality, they just could not get past it. MSG Network host Sean Little said he thought that the Knicks fans were just stunned that they were even in OT at all. Sixers rally, they beat the Knicks, and then we end up getting this titanic of a game in game 6. The Knicks then, last night, build a 20-point lead, and it was like, oh, that's all she wrote. And then the Sixers were like, no, baby. What we're going to do is we're going to give you a player you haven't seen before. It was the Buddy Hield revenge game. Nick Nurse was one of those coaches that says, you know what, I'm going to tell Buddy Hield, just stay ready, baby. Just stay ready, because at some point, I'm going to need you. And hell yes, did Buddy Hield perform. Just raining threes down like only Buddy Hield can. 20 points, 6 threes, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist for our man, Buddy. As some legends would say, dumb as a stump Hield. Brunson ends up 41 points again. Josh Hart hits another crucial late game three again. But it was close. No enchilada. Knicks seal out the series. Now they play the Pacers, who put away the Milwaukee Bucks. Same game, same night. That should be a fascinating series. Not a lot to say about the Pacers series. Why? Because Dame came back. It didn't really matter. Giannis never played. You got, you know, Indiana back in their home crowd. Oh, and by the way, there's some chippiness between these teams. I don't know if Tyrese Haliburton and Dame Lillard like each other very much. I'm watching a highlight right now where they started to squabble. Goodness gracious. They were the two zeros fighting to the death. Well, it's technically Dame's an O for Ogden, Oregon, and Oakland. And Tyrese Haliburton is a zero. But you know what I'm trying to say. Out in Cleveland, the Cavs fixed what was bothering them. They got an Evan Mobley block to win a very tight game. Paolo was outrageous. Paolo, we got to talk about him just becoming a star right before our very eyes. 39 points for Paolo. 4 threes, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. The Celtics are waiting for them. And does it even matter who they play? No. It does not matter who they play. Derek White is just going to score 30, and Jason Tatum's going to give you like 10 rebounds and like 6 assists and 16 points, and they're going to sweep them. Maybe 5 points. Maybe five games that this series will go. They're the presumptive favorites in the East. The Heat get given a massive dose of reality. Then now they need to make some decisions on what they do with Jimmy Butler. Because even with Jimmy Butler in this game, I'm not sure that they win 2 games. They lack athleticism, they lack height, they lack shooters, but they have Eric Spoelstra, so it kind of balances them out. And I don't know now what they even do, because they've got massive contract decisions, and Jimmy Butler wants a max contract. A couple of other series that came to an end this week was the New Orleans Pelicans. They decide they're going to get swept into the oblivion by the Thunder. What a great series for a team that a lot of pundits had losing to New Orleans. Not me, though. The Thunder are way too young. They're too inexperienced. They're too skinny. Blah, blah, blah. And the Thunder were like, no, we're way better than you. We're way better than these other teams. Chet Holmgren's defensive rating was like 89. They ran him off the court. And they ran him off the court so badly that David Griffin is now forced to talk about what decisions he has to make in the offseason. He's like, yeah, I know I say we needed to see what we look like healthy, and I've seen us healthy, and it's not good enough. These Western Conference teams are about their fucking business, and we just don't got it like that. Now the Thunder wait the Clippers-Mavericks series, where we have now no more Kawhi Leonard indefinitely, just as usual, Kawhi Leonard not available in the postseason. I don't mean to make light of it, but Jesus Christ, when are we going to see Kawhi Leonard? So we get a little what a pro wants, what a pro needs, getting some nappy time. The other series that ended, of course, was the Lakers versus Nuggets. That was a gentleman's sweep. Game 5 was great. Lakers were tough as nails. But the bottom line is that the Nuggets are absolutely inevitable. Just incredible. What happened was as predictable as the sun coming up. The Lakers led by 9 in the fourth quarter. Denver made a run and took a lead. And the Lakers, behind Braun, clawed back. And then the Nuggets had the ball in a tie game with 26 seconds left. And guess what they did? They gave the ball to Jamal Murray, who was insane. Absolutely amazing with a bum, I think, calf. Pretty sure it's a calf. Jamal Murray, just really, really good. What did he have in this game? 32 points, 5 for 10 from 3. Wow, efficient. 3 rebounds, 7 assists, and 1 steal. That calf did not look like it was bothering him at all. We now have all kinds of things happening around the Lakers organization right after the game ended. Like, basically at the whistle, we got a Sham Sharania hit piece coming out. How bad it was. How much this team hates Darvin Ham. How disorganized they were. Yada, yada, yada. And then the next day, we got new reporting. Darvin Ham's probably finished. Not just probably finished. Expected to be finished. Not by one, not two, but three independent insiders that say, yeah, this guy's gone by Friday. Literally, that's what they said. He's gone by Friday. Jesus. And now LeBron James is not being able to answer questions about where he's going, what he's doing. Hey, do you think this is your last time in a purple and gold uniform? And he goes, you know what? I'm not going to answer that. So, nice try. Thank you very much. I'm going to spend time with my family. Nuggets then play the Minnesota Timberwolves. And like I said, Jamal Murray's banged up, but they're not going to give up that title easily. And the Wolves team, though, has a lot of belief. I think I saw something from Mike Conley that said he thinks that Ant Edwards believes he's the best player to ever step foot on a basketball court. He believes that he's better than Michael Jordan, Ant Edwards. That's the kind of confidence that he has, and that's the kind of confidence that's coming to the court against the Nuggets. So if they're lackadaisical, I swear to God, Nuggets is in for something bad. So help us get prepared for this series. I had on Alan Morton. He's the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He was on my other show, BetMGM Tonight. That airs on the radio, actually, in most major markets from 7 to 11, as well as on YouTube and Twitch and the Odyssey app. I was joined by my co-hosts, Nick Ashew and Ryan Horvath. So let's get into it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alan Horton is the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He jumps on with us now, and I'm sure it's elation, jubilation, celebration, and probably just a lot of pride. We were talking earlier to somebody that was a guest on the show, and it's like there's got to be this feeling of just kind of some pride with the Timberwolves and what they were able to accomplish in the first round, you know, knocking off a team that beat them in all three games during the regular season in the Suns, and now you've got Anthony Edwards, Minnesota Timberwolves, a team that kind of feels like they can make some noise and maybe at least make things uncomfortable for the Nuggets in the second round.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's good to be on with you guys. And it was kind of understated. It wasn't a big celebration last night in Phoenix. The players were kind of, you know, I think they knew this was coming with the way they have been playing in this series leading up to Game 4. And I think they have sort of the expectation amongst themselves that this is where they rightfully should be. Moving out of the first round. And yeah, the franchise hasn't done that in 20 years, but most of these guys haven't been on this planet for 20 years. So, I mean, you know, with a few years of exception, Ant was, 2 years old the last time the Timberwolves made it out of the first round. It's the only other time they made it out of the first round in the 35-year history. So, They're starting to put some of that bad history behind them, and they're starting to do some good things. Anthony Edwards has exploded onto the stage, the national stage, like he rightfully deserves to do. I mean, he is. I've watched him for four straight years develop into this, and while he has led the Timberwolves on an extra step every single year, he's done that the same thing with his development and with his charisma and with his mentality of, you know, as he said multiple times in this series, I just want to kill who's ever in front of me. Hopefully that's figuratively, not literally. And, you know, they just absolutely destroyed the Suns. He went up against his childhood hero in Kevin Durant and absolutely played him off the floor. I mean, KD had finished with some decent stats, 27 points, 50%, 50-plus percent shooting. But it was Ant's series. And KD and the Suns were never in this thing. And it was a dominant performance.
Yeah, he stole his soul. Absolutely took his soul right from him, and then Kevin Durant had to give him his flowers after.
From Booker and Durant, those guys, they didn't have a will to fight anymore.
They didn't. They were gone. I watched this defensive sequence last night before that dunk where he took out Kevin Durant late in that game. Cat successfully closed out on a three on Eric Gordon and then fell back into the paint to double-team KD, force a pass out, then pressured Brad Beal into a bad pass that the Wolves stole, all in like flat 20 seconds. Karl Anthony Towns hasn't been known for his defensive prowess. How has he developed, and what has he done for the defense this year?
He has been forced to play his best defensive basketball of his career because the Wolves made defense a priority this year. It took them a little while to get comfortable with Rudy Gobert and adding a three-time defensive player of the year. And it wasn't smooth sailing last year. It was a rough fit for Rudy, for his teammates, I think for the coaching staff, and trying to rely on Rudy a little too much. But they seem to have ironed all that out. And that's the biggest reason they've had success this year. They've got the number one defense in the regular season, and they got back to defending. And that play you're talking about is a great example of the, you know, defense in this league, in an offensive-driven league like the NBA, it's really hard to be good defensively because it takes a ton of effort, it takes a ton of willpower, and it's not just a one-effort type of thing or two-effort. That whole possession was, there were like, you know, Cat had multiple efforts, and there were some other guys that had multiple efforts. That's what it takes to get a stop, to get a turnover, and then Ant sort of punctuates it at the other end with a very Michael Jordan-esque dunk there, cocking sideways, ripping that thing back, and then just, you know, again, Kevin Beal was right there, the defender, so he beats Beal, but Kevin Durant, you know, talking about Wills, he didn't want anything to do with that. I mean, that was the series on the line right there. That was a two-point game at that time, and Durant is looking to kind of make a business.
He got out of the way, Alan.
He did. Maybe you could argue he got there late. I don't know. I mean, I'm a huge Kevin Durant fan. Don't get me wrong. Guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But in this series, they ripped the will from the Suns. And that showed on that dunk because he didn't go up and contest him, try to make a hard foul, try to get the block, do something to help your team win.
What changed this year? I mean, I guess just being on the court more together, but with Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, Gobert's always been, you know, a dominant rebounder and rim protector, especially in the regular season. But in the playoffs in Utah, there would be some struggles if he had to go out on the perimeter, if he got, like, put in pick and rolls. Is that more on Chris Finch? Is that more on Rudy? Because he's just looked like a completely different player, especially the second half of the season and now these four playoff games.
I think it's all of the above. I think Chris Finch and the coaching staff adjusted some things, just some minor tweaks. Spacing is obviously a big issue when you've got 2 7-footers patrolling the paint. I think that just the chemistry between Kat and Rudy, between them off the floor, wanting to make things work. Kat is a very personable person and wants to work with it. He's open to new ideas. He wants to make things work. And I think Rudy does too. And when you have two people like that, and seeing it not work the way they were going about it last year, and then deciding, hey, we've got to make this work. How do we do that? And they've done all these small things that have added up to being, you know, fighting for the number one seed in the Western Conference for most of the year. And getting back to Kat defensively, you know, when you're on the floor with Rudy, and then you've got Jaden McDaniels on the wing, you've got Ant, who at times during a game he'll just guard the other team's best player. And he will literally cut him off from making any kind of drive. He just muscles him right up, chests him right up. He's got the strength to hold his ground. Ant is a tremendous defender. Jaden McDaniels, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Mike Conley, you know, teams try to pick on Mike, but he's a very smart guy. and he knows what teams are trying to do, and oftentimes that'll work to the opponent's disadvantage. Mike is too smart. He knows what they're trying to do. He'll jump a play. He'll get a steal. It's just been a really well-oiled defensive machine that has allowed them to, you know, they have middle-of-the-pack offense in the regular season, but I've always felt that they have more firepower than their 16th ranking in offensive rating this year. And I think we saw that in the postseason because they've had a top three postseason offense in a limited small sample size. But, you know, they've did it offensively. They did it defensively. They dominated every facet of the series against the Suns, which was impressive to see.
Talking to the voice of the Timberwolves, Alan Horton, BetMGM tonight. One of the things that I think hasn't gotten enough credit, at least maybe outside, you probably talked about it on broadcast, as that, you know, the games have gone on in the playoffs. Rudy Gobert is a career 64% free throw shooter. He's shooting 86% from the line so far in the playoffs. And not only that, he's tied for a career high in the most free throw attempts per game. So he's getting the volume. He's making those free throws at an 86% clip right now. What has changed?
You know, I don't know that anything has changed. I think Rudy has just gone through these peaks and valleys when it comes to his free throw shooting. He had some really good stretches to start the year, and then it was a little bit of a downturn. Then it went back up, then it went back down. But I think it just gives you an idea of how dialed in he is in the postseason. The first three games, he got himself in some foul trouble last night. But for the most part, his first three games, I thought he was excellent. I mean, just has raised his level of play to a whole new height. And his shooting inside, he was shooting 73% entering last night. And the free throws, the interesting thing about the free throws that I've noticed this, I think this, especially at home, the crowd is just, they just can't wait for it. They want so badly for him to hit the free throw and then hit the next one. And you can feel when he hits a couple of in a row, it just gives this boost of energy to the crowd. And I think his teammates feel that too. I think when you see Rudy go up there now and he's knocking down 6 out of 7 every night, it's a big boost for the team because that could go the other way. And all of a sudden that becomes an advantage for the opponent. And you start seeing the hack of Rudy late in games and that type of thing. But not when he's shooting like this. He's been really impressive. And I just think that speaks to how dialed he is into this postseason.
And now the Wolves presumably wait for the Nuggets. How do you think the Wolves match up with the Nuggets this year? Because Nikola Jokic said that the Wolves gave him the toughest test last year. Obviously, they figured some things out. And now with Jamal Murray's injury, you got to be feeling optimistic, yeah?
Well, I think it is going to be the Nuggets. If that happens tonight, then this game one's going to come up real soon. It's going to come up Saturday in Denver. These two teams obviously are in the same division, so they're facing each other four times a year. The first round series last year was a battle. It was five games, so it wasn't a long series, but the Wolves did put up a fight, and they have matched up with Denver relatively well. I mean, they're the defending champs, so you got to knock them off. Jokic is playing at just an unreal level. He's thinking the game at, I mean, the reference is made all the time. You know, one guy's playing chess, the rest of the people are playing checkers. I feel like that's what it is for Jokic with some of the things he does on the floor and the way he sees his teammates and sees plays develop. It's and then when you add in his ability, his skill level, it's just it's a nightmare combination. I think the Wolves are well positioned, maybe as well as anybody in the Western Conference, to at least give them a run. Maybe make it a deep series. Last year in that five games, the Wolves didn't have Jaden McDaniels, so they were without one starter. And this year's sixth man of the year, Naz Reid, also missed that series. Kyle Anderson, who comes off the bench for the Wolves, didn't have a huge role in the Phoenix series, but I think he will going forward against Denver, the next likely opponent, and he missed a game because of an injury too. So the Wolves were really not at 100%, and I just feel like what they went through last year, I think this team is at a different point, a different level. And I think mentally they're kind of peaking at the right time. And I think, you know, last year I think Denver was the team that was hungry and grabbing the title. And maybe they're still, you know, the team to beat. Maybe this won't make a difference. But I feel like the Wolves have jumped up and they know that they can compete with this team. And I think that's going to lead to a fascinating series. I think this is two teams that probably the nation hasn't seen a lot of. Maybe the Nuggets run last year, although they really weren't pushed. I mean, they only lost, four games the entire postseason. So they rolled to the title, and Minnesota thinks that they can give them a test. It's going to be a great series if it does come to that.
Yeah, there's no question Minnesota at least has all the pieces to certainly compete, not just with Denver, but with anybody out west. Okay. Alan Horton, the voice of the Timberwolves. Appreciate you coming on with us.
You got it. Anytime.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
We finish up the episode with an interview with Douglas Farmer of Covers.com. He breaks down the NBA playoffs from a betting perspective on BetMGM tonight. Let's get right into it.
Bringing on a Douglas Farmer right now, not only is a betting analyst for Covers, but is, you know, also a Timberwolves fan.
Oh, I suck it up.
So you celebrating today? You feeling good right now? Listen, this team is young. They're talented. The worry coming into the playoffs, I know for a lot of us, was, you know, have they had enough playoff experience where they can really make a statement? Well, they didn't beat the Suns at all during the regular season, and they cooked them in the playoffs.
Well, it's nice of Ryan to finally get on the bandwagon that Anthony Edwards is the future of this league. I've been yelling this since August, and it's nice that y'all finally start paying attention to the Great North up here. It's welcome aboard. You know, you get on before we do whatever we do to the Nuggets. You're still allowed. Whatever we do to the Nuggets, anybody at that point, that's too late for the party. Yeah, a little bit of celebrating last night, but mostly it's we know what's coming. Nobody's going to try to convince me the Lakers are going to win this series. We know what's coming. It's the Nuggets, and that might be the best playoff series of this entire postseason.
Do you think there's any value? I mean, considering the fact that Jamal Murray is injured now and calf strains are significant injuries, is there any value to you in looking at a little Ant Edwards Finals MVP?
I believe it was BetMGM who dropped an email in my inbox this morning that he's the third highest handle of the Finals MVPs behind Jokic and Jason Tatum. There's definitely a reason behind that. And you say Jamal Murray has this calf injury. Now, he's been fighting this for more than 2 months. He was doing well the last few weeks, and as a basketball fan, you're optimistic for him. But he's been dealing with shin splints and calf injuries for the better part of 2 months. And, yeah, if the Lakers stretch this out beyond tonight, that could be a real worry for the Nuggets. The king stays the king until they get knocked off. I'm not trying to diminish them, but we all know they have no bench. Their starting five is the best starting five in the league, and then a terrible drop-off.
What team gives Boston a series, if anybody, in the Eastern Conference? They got Miami tonight, 10.5-point favorites. What do you think?
Nick was just saying how hard this Heat-Celtics series is to bet. I was staring at that total this morning, wanting to get under the 205, and I think it's the right play, but I don't want to bet against Miami getting hot again, so I've stayed off it just out of fear of Miami. It's that kind of thing with the Celtics where you can't trust them. They're the best team in the league. They're far and away. You can't trust them. Who gives them a run? I think the Knicks are going to make their lives miserable. I think Boston would rather stab itself beneath the kneecap with a rusty butter knife than face these New York Knicks.
Which is a weird statement to hear as somebody that's a Knicks fan like myself. Heard pretty much just the opposite about this team for a long, long time.
I've been riding.
I know, but like before this season, let's be honest. You know, there was a couple little stretches at the beginning of the Thibodeau era, but it's been a roller coaster for a really long time. But yeah, this Heat-Celtics series is absolutely a roller coaster too. And it's what I think what you brought up is exactly the reason why it's been so difficult. I've gone in on like Jaime Jaquez points, and we talked about Jovic's threes and stuff like that. But it's just tough because no matter when you look at even a double-digit spread, you go, but also Miami could cover. Also, Miami could win this game if it really comes down to it, because they just always find a way. Even if you don't have a side or total anything in this game, do you even just have a lean of kind of where we are at this point in the series tonight?
Where we are at the series, you got to think the Celtics are going to escape this series. Miami's just going to make them pay. Miami is, to use a favorite gambling term that we all know, it's alligator blood. Alligator blood, alligator blood. But these Heat, they're just hanging around. And if this is a six-point game in the fourth quarter, then the Celtics are going to pucker. We've seen that. If I were going to bet this game, I would bet either the terrible betting strategy of Heat to win or Heat to get blown out. Because I don't see this being a 12-point game. I see this being Heat win in the fourth quarter or the Heat lose by 20. Because that's how the Heat seem to be against the Celtics.
Yeah, so Heat to win is plus 400. And then you could take an alternate line of the Celtics to win by something like 20. And you're probably getting plus 300 in that realm
it's
on the Celtics
terrible,
side as well.
Terrible betting strategy. But when you look at this matchup, none of us want to bet the Heat to lose by 9 because they're going to get in the fourth quarter and they're going to do those weird Miami Heat things and Jason Tatum's going to fold. It's maddening.
What do you make of this Clippers-Mavs series? Because now Kawhi, we don't know when he's going to be back, if he's going to be back. Seems like the Clippers play better basketball without him right now, considering he's been so hampered. Luka's dealing with some things. Kyrie's going nuclear. Like, what do you make of this series? And are there players that you look at, like, I have to bet them night to night, and maybe they're undiscovered? Or is this a day-to-day, game-to-game thing?
I'm willing to assume Kawhi is out. That I'll be happy if he's back as a basketball fan. We all want to enjoy him, but I'm willing to assume he's just done for the series, at which point I'm going to take the Mavs. I know Luka's beat up, but part of the reason the Clippers looked so good in those games without Kawhi is because they weren't scouted properly without Kawhi. The Mavericks are now aware of, like, okay, we just have to plan for James Harden and Paul George. Kawhi's not coming back. We need to focus our defense elsewhere. And in those moments, the only player I'm comfortable fading, and I've been fading Daniel Gafford, because he doesn't get minutes against this Clippers lineup. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but the facts are the facts. He's not getting minutes. Fade those rebound props, and that's been profitable for me in that series. Otherwise, I'm sticking with the Mavs to win the series. I'm not betting against Luka when the counterpart is Paul George or James Harden. It's that simple for me. It's Luka.
I think he's about to go off in the next game, too, after those comments after the game. What do you think about the Orlando-Cleveland series? Like, we were leaving for the weekend, it looked over, and then Orlando takes two back at home. They're 4.5-point dogs coming up in game 5. What do you think about that one?
Series doesn't start till the home team loses. I don't think this series is anything to worry about for the Cavs. If you look at their net rating in the regular season with Donovan Mitchell, they profiled as the number 2 team in the East. So, yeah, they took a tougher draw by falling to the 4 spot, but I'm still willing to give them the credit of when they have Donovan Mitchell in the lineup, they are net rating wise better than the Knicks, better than the Bucks. Not that that's saying a whole lot. It's a tough draw, but I think the Magic are just a lightning in a bottle for a moment. I'm not in on them. I think the Cavs will, it might go 7, but at that point, that's why you're the 4 seed.
Talking to Douglas Farmer, BetMGM tonight. We were talking earlier about teams that just kind of look like, just that you can see the body language and you can see they just look done. They look 1-2-3 Cancun at this point.
Yep.
Where would you put the Sixers in that among teams that just look defeated? Because what the Knicks were able to do and then have their fans go in there and take over the arena and Embiid talk about it afterwards and all the stuff and surrounding Embiid and his health and all that. Like, I know the Pelicans look done at this point. And there's the Suns obviously looked done going into that game last night. I feel like looking at the Sixers at this point down 3-1 after what New York did going into Philadelphia, it kind of feels like they're almost on that verge too, where mentally it's a team that just looks defeated.
I think you need to be more selective with the slander of 1-2-3 Cancun. It is our greatest insult in NBA parlance.
That's fair.
I was dropping it on people who don't follow basketball. I was describing last night's Timberwolves game beforehand. I was like, I think this is a 1-2-3 Cancun game without even realizing that, they don't know what that means. And I had to explain it. It makes complete sense once you explain it. 1-2-3 Cancun, like it originated with you see it on the court. You see them in a huddle, and instead of saying 1-2-3 go Suns, it's 1-2-3 I have a flight at 7 a.m. I don't know that you can put that on the 76ers, especially like Joel Embiid has many flaws. nobody can argue that he's a competitor, that he's going to give it every ounce he has. He's probably costing himself some back end of his career. And I'd say the same thing for Tyrese Maxey. And Tyrese Maxey's game amplifies when he's desperate. I'm not out on them. Do I think they'll win the series? No. But I do think the 76ers have some of that in them. 1-2-3 Cancun is the most damning thing we say in NBA parlance. I don't know that Nick Nurse, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey deserve that.
By the way, it's been 25 years since the Knicks have closed out a series at home. Fascinating stuff. In the Sixers fandom, doesn't it kind of feel like that this is one of those scenarios that the Sixers actually have that last gasp, like that final swan song? They actually beat the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, give their fans life again, only to be disappointed at Wells Fargo?
And wouldn't that be how we all want to enjoy it? No offense to any 76ers fans, but isn't it fun to see that kind of angst when it's not happening to your team like it was to the Timberwolves for 20 years? Isn't this what we all want as fans of drama?
No, I mean, absolutely. I know you talk about the WNBA, so I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this really fast. Is like, do you think there's any value on betting anything Caitlin Clark related? She's what, plus 1800 to win MVP? I think they're fourth shortest odds for the Fever to do something, win the whole thing. Don't think that's going to happen. Like, how do you attack Indiana Fever betting?
I will be tailing them to start the year. I will be taking an over on the win total, and it's not as much about Caitlin Clark as it is about Ayla Boston in the post. That combination is going to be dynamic, and that's what's being underrated. Can Caitlin Clark win the MVP? No. It's a point of pride for some of the WNBA, which is people scoff sometimes when you say it's as competitive as basketball gets. It's only 144 players in the deepest talent pool league in the world. They're going to dial it up on Caitlin Clark, as they should, and that's what we enjoy. She's going to have a good portion of the season. She's going to have a bad portion of the season. We also forget that WNBA rookies, they get 2 weeks before training camp, 3 weeks before training camp. Her body's not going to be fully recovered from the national championship game run. This is just the facts of the timing, and it's unfortunate and frustrating as a basketball fan. I'm looking forward to watching her. I will get to a few games myself. But no, she's not going to dominate in a way that I'm looking at those MVP odds.
If we were to see the Bucks go down to the Pacers in the first round, and
okay, at least it's still Indiana.
First off, I love this Pacers team. They're a ton of fun to watch. It kind of felt like they might have been a year away, but the Bucks now without Giannis being there, you know, and Dame has been hobbled, it just feels like it's almost inevitable the Pacers win this series. But we saw the Suns already get eliminated. If the Bucks get eliminated in the first round against the Pacers, back-to-back first round exits now, we were kind of talking about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. Maybe there's a possibility, I don't know, the Bucks make some serious changes. If you had to look at the Suns or the Bucks, hypothetical odds, who is the favorite and more likely to make significant changes this offseason, even with a Suns team that's got a whole bunch of salary cap restrictions on top of that?
I'm going to present a hypothetical, and I'm presenting it just as an argument, not as the biased fan on this regard that I am. The Timberwolves make a run. Let's say they lose to the Celtics in the finals. See, 2 years ago, the Timberwolves made a paradigm-shifting trade, got rid of all their future draft picks, blew out in last year's first round, and then keep it together, run it back, and would have a finals run. The Suns and the Bucks might look at that scenario and go, hey, we traded everything away last summer, and now we're just going to put it all back together, run it back, and they might be able to do it. I'm not saying they should, but if the Timberwolves keep cooking, the Suns and the Bucks are going to be looking at an example of what they just went through. And if it works out for the Wolves in year two, that might be enough logic for those front offices to say, you know what, we're going to try it out.
You know, when you have a lot of money invested in three stars, it's something you want to try and squeeze every little bit of juice out of you can, right?
And part of the Wolves conversation last offseason was, look, if the season starts badly, then we can move Carl before the February trade deadline. They can have those same thoughts. Hey, if the Bucks can't get it going next year, well, what is Dame worth now? Is Giannis going to force his way out? If the Suns can't get going early, will Beal waive his no trade? What is Kevin Durant worth now? They don't necessarily have to make that decision this offseason so much as they have to make it by next February.
Tell you what, it's always interesting in the NBA. We know that Douglas Farmer covers, and of course, very proud Timberwolves fan. Congratulations with your first round win, my friend.
We're just getting started. It's 12 more wins, and if you get me after one of those series clinching wins, I don't know if that I'll be able to be on air at 7:30 in the evening yet.
R.I.P. Chris Finch's patellar tendon.
Oh, yeah, seriously, on top of that, too. Jeez.
If you asked him before the game, he would have sacrificed it for the win. I have no doubt.
No doubt at all. Thanks, man. Appreciate you coming on again.
Take care, y'all.
That's all the time that we have for this episode of the Heat Check. Come back on Monday for an all-new episode as the first round of the playoffs finishes up. Second round begins. Check out the feed for past episodes and mini-episodes which drop unexpectedly, like LeBron in the playoffs in the last 3 years. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we head into the playoffs. That means download. That means subscribe. That means tell your friends. Even Jalen Brunson say, hey, Jalen, you finally passed the ball and now you actually won the freaking series. Turn on the Heat Check with Trista Crick. She cooks you, but in a loving way. And do not forget to follow at This Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and IG. And very soon, YouTube. I promise it's coming.